And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, welcome into the postseason wrap edition of WARP in Cincinnati. Paul Danner Jr., C. Trent Rosecrans of The Athletic are here as we kind of officially unpack 2020, which, boy, aren't we all waiting to do that, and start taking our first turn ahead towards the offseason in 2021. Trent, how are we doing? I'll tell you what, one thing I'd be excited to do, start thinking more about 2021 and forgetting about as much 2020 as possible.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend last night, and he's like, remember when your mom used to say, I'll knock you into next year? Like, is that offer still on the table?
Can we do that? I'll take the biggest hit. Actually, can you knock me into a couple years forward?
Yeah.
I'm good with 2022 at this point. Can we just start looking for that?
Easy, yeah.
We've got a lot to get to, but mostly we are going to kind of discuss what Dick Williams discussed with reporters at the end of last week. It was Friday, right? My days are so blurred together.
Yeah, it was Friday.
it was Friday. Dick Williams met on a Zoom with local media, and it went for about 35 minutes of him kind of breaking down the season and taking a look at what the offseason might look like. And Trent, you basically have most of the Q&A on a number of wide-ranging topics up on the site right now. Reminder to everybody, if you want to read all of the Reds coverage, all of the baseball coverage as the playoffs continue, the NFL, Premier League, whatever, it's all under our umbrella at The Athletic. And for right now, celebrating our million subscribers, just $1 a month right now, you can get that deal. Go to theathletic.com/WARP, click on the link, and you can be a subscriber for $1 a month right now and get all that. But mostly, you take a look at the Dick Williams Q&A, and you can get into all those topics. We have three answers from Dick Williams that we want to kind of bring out for you to listen to, and then we'll discuss each one afterwards. So we're going to kind of set them up and knock them down a little bit for you. Kind of really the three biggest topics, I think, most, at least in my opinion, probably the most interesting around this team right now. And we'll start with the first one. And that was your question, Trent, and it kind of boils down to this: how should we feel about this year? Here's Dick Williams.
I would say it's hard not to wake up this morning feeling bitter disappointment. You know, it feels that way for all of us. There is there's no joy in Mudville today. But I will say, mixed in with that bitter disappointment is, for the players and staff, there's pride, and there should be, for what they accomplished this year. For all of us, it was an unprecedented year. You know, you guys had to do your jobs under extremely trying circumstances, you know, not having in-person access to players and people to talk to and to be down there to get a feel for what's going on. And, you know, I know how hard that made your job. And, you know, I just think that as we get to the end of the season, you know, it's worth looking back at the gauntlet that these players had to run this year. You know, the no preparation like they'd ever done before for a season, to have spring training shut down and then reopened on short notice in their home market. The constant state of anxiety that they were forced to live in for the, you know, majority of the season, with the testing and the unknowns about coronavirus, the massive changes to our daily protocols and our daily routines, the way those guys were deprived of access to their family and friends, for a long period of time. The rules changes, not only in the immediate time preceding the season, but as the season progressed, we were dealing with a fluid situation and we're, you know, rules were being changed during the course of the season. And I just think that, you know, people that look at this short season and oversimplify it by saying, oh, they expanded the playoffs, of course it was easy to get in, are completely missing the point here. The reason they were expanded was because of the season was so short that it's hard for the best teams to rise to the top in a shorter period of time. And I truly believe the longer the season went, the more we would have distanced ourselves from a lot of the other teams around us. But that isn't the way it worked. The way it worked is a 60-game season, and I credit the players and staff and feel like, as disappointed as we all are not to be advancing further, they have every right to be proud of what they did accomplish. And, you know, I saw some stuff today in the local press. I saw the word embarrassment somewhere, and I pity people that feel like that's an appropriate word, you know, to use in situations like this. When you do what we did and go to the postseason and stack up against the number two seed and have epic battles like we did those two games, you know, you can be disappointed, but you still have to be proud. And I saw a headline today or an article, you know, mentioning effort. And I would just say, you can question, our execution. You can question the decision-making by the coaching staff. You can question the decision-making by the front office. Those are all fair game, but don't ever question the effort that those guys put forth this year under those circumstances, dealing with things that none of us can even really fathom or have any idea what's going on. So long-winded answer to your question, but there's a lot of emotion, so there are no easy short answers in 2020.
So that was a long-winded answer, you should say, or as you know, as he pointed out, like there's no easy quick answers this year. And you know what,
for
this
anything
there isn't, and especially this topic, I think here's where I find it interesting, and I'm really curious your opinion on this, Trent, is that we were all forced to consume baseball through a totally different lens this year. But here we are also forced to apply the old school standards of success to this completely different bucket of what this season was. And I just think it's really hard, especially for a team like the Reds that put so much time, effort, energy, money, and attention on this year being a success, to judge and know how to feel about what the team was this year and the direction that they're going, more importantly, as you look forward, because as you mentioned, I mean, so much of this team is kind of set. Is there a stand by it and run it back feeling? Is that the way you should feel? Should you feel like this is a disappointment? I just feel like it's really hard to conclude whether this was good, bad, indifferent, success, and why, because it was just so different.
Yeah. I mean, I think anything 2020, baseball, football, tiddlywinks, whatever, they're all an asterisk right now. And if this is going to sound like the least sports fanny thing ever, and you know, this is just how I am, because I'm not anymore. But like, if it brought you some joy, there you go. Hey, what have we had that brought us joy? If that run in the last 2.5 weeks brought you joy, well, focus on that. Don't focus on the other two. Think about, oh yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask because, you know, in our job, we kind of change our relationship to these things so much where it's just different. I mean, our relationship, your relationship, my relationship to all these are so different that it is, you know, quite honestly, if you said, well, you can't understand how I feel, I'd be like, you're right, I can't. But my thing is, like, I don't know, as I've gotten older, I dislike the word should and just concentrate on what brings joy and then ignore the rest. So if there is anything that brought you joy in this season, think about that. If there's anything that didn't, just purge it.
And my question would be this, you know, as, and I think once you're removed from, you know, if you're a fan, the frustration of 2 days, and those are frustrating days to watch an offense not be able to score in the most important games you've watched in a while, I'm sure. But as you get removed from it, and I think you can, to me, I look at it this way. What would you have done different? You know, here's what you did. You had an off season where they spent a bunch. I mean, I thought it was pretty much unanimous that everybody loved the Reds off season.
Yeah,
In Reds country, across Major League Baseball, punditry, executives. If you read those here, I mean, that was they spent money. They did it to impact bats. They got good bats. You know, that weren't just for the immediate future, but for a longer haul too. I mean, they did all the things that you wanted them to do. They aggressively attacked the roster in season and treated it like the short season it was. I mean, they churned the hell out of that thing when things were going sideways. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up in the playoffs playing as good a baseball as a Reds team has played entering the playoffs. I don't even know that I'd be, who knows? I mean, according to Joey Votto, you know, you'd probably have to go back to 1990, I guess. I mean, you know, playing, regardless of that comparison, playing as good a baseball as you could possibly be playing going into the postseason. And they lost to, you know, a one-run game in 13 innings and a game that was basically one run until the very end there. What would you do different? What would you have done differently, you know, to say, oh, that would have created different results? I have a hard time finding where I would have done something totally different than what the Reds did from the offseason all the way through the regular season to the way they were positioned entering the playoffs.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you could say Marcelo Ozuna instead of Nick Castellanos, which was one of the big ones, but Marcelo Ozuna chose the Braves. He had a representative, and according to some people I've talked to, maybe even better offer from the Reds than he did from the Braves. But here's the thing about free agency. I've said this many times. They're not free, and they have agency. He used his agency and went to the Braves. So, like, that isn't even – and they pivoted and added the next best bat. Or equal bat or better bat, depending on, you know, there was a big discussion entering the offseason. Now, Marcelo Ozuna's numbers were unreal. He had a great year this year. And, man, you want to think about what those would have been like at Great American. But, yeah. Anywho, who knows? Who knows? So that is – I'm with you. Like, I have trouble finding fault and except for the lineups. I mean, oh – I'm actually being very sarcastic there because the lineups usually, you know, an optimized lineup doesn't add all that much. So, yeah, no, like you look at it and it's just, it is hard to objectively say what could have done, what you could have done differently. I mean, there were results and I don't know. Did we talk about batting coaches and all that last time? I talk about this all the time.
No, it's not just, really.
I just find that my thing is it's not like an offensive coordinator in football. You know, hitting coaches in baseball are more like, I don't even know how to explain it. Because it's like, oh, if in basketball, if guys are missing shots, like, you know, it's not the offensive coach's job that they're missing shots. I just find that way overworked. You know, every time I see a fire the hitting coach tweet or comment or something, I just laugh because it's just – that's not how it works in baseball. It is really not.
And the idea – I mean, the other thing – and Dick Williams ends up saying, I mean, the staff's coming back. I mean, they're not
the, – I would expect
– His point being
– I mean, there might be some tweaks, but yeah I don't think there's going to be a massive overhaul.
I mean, the point was that, you know – And you know, he was not holding back his feelings about the way some of this was covered in the market. You know, he pities anybody that would call it an embarrassment, which he saw, and he took a much exception to people talking about effort. And that's all fair. I mean, you know, a team that ended up probably pressing because and maybe admitting that because they were going through it, it's part of baseball in a big moment. Like that stuff happens. I have a hard time holding that over their head or blaming a coach or a manager outside of the double steal thing that didn't quite work out. But, you know, like what would the difference have been and what are the percentage chances of that working versus Matt Davidson getting a hit? And that's we're nitpicking. We're splitting hairs here. The point is the team was playing great coming into the playoffs. And I don't know where you point blame or say this was some major objective failure. In what way? You know what I mean? Like, obviously they didn't hit well enough, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, that's because they didn't add enough in the offseason. They didn't spend enough or strategically go after the right guys in the offseason. I mean, it was a short season and a bunch of dudes hit below their averages. For vets in the middle, in the prime of their career, it happens. And I don't mean, you know, people are going to sit here, you know, we hear these people all the time. Don't let them off the hook. And I just, you know, I do think that there's a disappointment, certainly, as everybody would have in the organization in what happened in the playoffs. But as far as, you know, the moves that they made, they set themselves and had themselves in great position and lost a couple of very close games to a really good Braves team. All right, before we move on, let's take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's move up. Let's set up answer number two. And it kind of ties into what we just talked about. And that is, how are you going to address the offense? Here's Dick Williams.
Yeah. Wow. We want to see more out of the offense. We wanted to see more this year. We're not going to go down that road again of the explanations of why. I think the biggest one of the biggest explanations was a shorter season. It just was. There were great hitters out there that had terrible years and guys that really performed in the short season. And I think over 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, and 6 months of a season, you would have seen guys get better and you would have seen other guys get worse. So it's really hard to take a 60-day season, you know, and then subtract from that the time missed by some of these guys, and use that as the basis for all of your decisions going forward. There's too many veterans on this team that have track records And I don't think we're given the opportunity to prepare the way they had in the past and find their groove in the season the way they have in the past. That being said, you know, clearly we want to produce better offensively to take advantage of the pitching that we have. I look at guys like, Yelich, Altuve, you know, guys like that. It was, Votto, Moose, Winker, they out hit Yelich, you know. Gino and Castellanos had the same OPS. Senzel was going great until COVID hit. Shogo was going great once he got used to, once he got acclimatized over here. You know, we expected in a 6-month season for him to have a ramp up. Then to lose the benefit of facing opponents in spring training, you know, led us to believe he'd need even more of a ramp up, and then to shorten the season to 60 days to think he would be where he was. I'm really encouraged by what we saw in the last three, four weeks. So, you know, Votto, Gino, Moose, we're all trending up, you know, playing better. Shogo, I talked about. Winker had a great year. I believe Senzel's more like the guy we were seeing before the virus hit him, before he spent time on the IL, I should say. So we think there's some, you know, there's definitely ways that that team is going to perform better offensively. But, like we have in the past, we will get creative in addressing the areas that need it. And that, you know, that is one we will spend a lot of time on.
So, the name that I've heard mentioned a lot as people talk about the weirdness of this season is Christian Yelich, and Dick Williams does it again here.
Yeah.
Who, Jose Altuve, a guy, an MVP, I mean, maybe best hitter in baseball, arguably in the NL, and he laid an egg this year in a short season. I mean, his numbers are nothing compared to what he normally did. And who knows over, with 100 more games, what his numbers look like. Or we heard Joey Votto mention this in one of the Zooms towards the end of the season, how much he really would have loved to have seen, you know, the rest of the season play out because of the trend that he mentioned himself and Moustakas and Suarez, and that they talked about that a lot, that it's a shame they didn't get to have the rest of the season play out because they really felt their numbers were all going to just start going, continue the same trend they were on and go up as they found their rhythm. And so there's a lot of, you know, to that answer, there's a lot of saying, hey, short season, we know who these guys are. We're not going to make long-term, which I found this to be an interesting element, not going to make long-term decisions based on a short-term sample size here. Is that right or wrong? I mean, what conclusions should you make as far as maybe the development of where guys are at and who maybe needs to be challenged or replaced or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, well, the other part is, who can you? You know, there could be some non-tenders. Non-tendering is going to be a fascinating, fascinating watch this offseason. A lot of teams are cutting back drastically on just operating budgets, much less payroll. I've seen some, I was talking to someone and, you could see teams like the non-tender is going to be just, I'm repeating myself because I'm thinking about it, but I've seen names like Gary Sanchez, Chris Bryant, Javier Baez. They're actually being a possibility. Not saying it'll happen, but it's being considered that those guys could be non-tendered. And the offseason's going to be really interesting that way. Because
I mean, who's going to have money? I mean, who's going to be willing to spend?
Exactly. The Dodgers. Yeah. I mean, if the Yankees
everyone's
are thinking,
going to have to go play for the Dodgers.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be like that old, there's an old Onion one about how the Yankees signed everybody.
Yeah.
And so to make sure that they won. But yeah, it's, It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, if you're reading or listening between the lines, I mean, there's a lot of contentment about where maybe the direction the offense could be headed in a number of spots. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of optimism over Shogo, who really essentially went through a super glorified spring training, almost was what this season turned into be for him, to getting used to this game. And by the end of the year, you really loved the way he was hitting, the at-bats he was getting, and who he had sort of started to turn himself into. You know, and you talk about Moustakas. I mean, you know who Mike Moustakas is. Votto question, we've talked ad nauseum for years about where is he where is he, decline phase, yeah. I mean, we're not going to continue to go down that road, but I, you know, can they get, what are they going to do at shortstop, what are they going to do, do they need to try to find more out of the catcher position as far as hitting? I mean, where do you go there? I mean, is there a position that you think that they have the easiest inroad? I mean, shortstop, I think, is the obvious, because Galvis is a free agent, and Garcia's probably not ready yet, even though he spent a bunch of time up with the team. You're still banking on that development. Is that the most obvious spot?
I think so. You know, you could say catcher. I think I've made it clear that this catching staff is a big part of the pitching staff. I mean, just, I don't know, man. You watch Kirk Casale in game one, and you tell me that's not valuable, that he did not have a valuable game. I find that hard to believe. He was all over the place, and Tucker Barnhart is so good back there. I think they're a huge part of this pitching staff, and if you take that away, you're taking away part of this, especially when you take away a Trevor Bauer and you have one fewer guy. If you go out and get JT Realmuto, sure. I just don't know otherwise. If the one spot in your lineup makes a big enough difference to make up for five spots in your rotation,
which are the absolute backbone of the franchise right now from a baseball perspective. So, I find that interesting. What we see as far as, the outfield, Senzel has a season that's really hard to judge. Mm-hmm. When you throw the IL list in the middle of everything, and he was hitting pretty well. You know, we mentioned Shogo, Castellanos. I mean, Castellanos looked like the best hitter in baseball for a pretty long stretch of time there.
And Jesse Winker.
I mean, I think they're gonna have to find creative solutions to find more offense. But I do think, just listening to Dick Williams, it's a lot of just, hey, how about maybe playing a 162 game season could be a big part of the solution too.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a big part of it. Is you got to see where that the water rises to its level. And now they are an older team offensively. I think I got into that in my story after the playoffs ended. So that is something for sure to watch, but you also have a lot of that committed again to make these huge sweeping changes. Where do you make them that you're not committed to already?
Castellanos going to opt in.
I know we've talked
about it before, but when you consider the environment out there, I can't imagine anybody wanting to willingly pass up the money he's owed to go into free agency right now.
Exactly. And that's where I am. I mean, I just, especially when you look at what Mike Moustakas did, the 1-year deals with Milwaukee before trying to find a long term, I don't know that that's any better long-term possibilities are any better than what they were last offseason. They're worse. I mean, you know, this is – I think – did I say this last time? This is the first offseason where we actually believe the owners that they're not making any money this year. That they didn't make money this year. I mean, despite some new playoff – some new TV money. I mean, even if you don't buy what percentage they say – I think they say 40% comes from – in stadium, even if you think that's closer to 25 to 30%, that's a big enchilada.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I would assume that he would come back. What just to recap for people, what would that mean for his contract if he opts back in? Where does that? What does it that means, commit him to?
Yeah, let me get back to it. He actually takes a well. He wouldn't take a pay cut because he got a prorated version this year. He has a opt out instead of making what was scheduled to be a $14 million last in 2020. He would then make 12 in 2021. So that is part of it. Let's see, has two opt outs. He has an opt out again after next season, which might make a lot more sense to take, the 2021. But he does make less this upcoming year. Now there are enough people that are making more this upcoming year that it doesn't change the overall, what am I looking for? Overall payroll of the team. So, it's going to be eaten up somewhere else, but it is $2 million less than he was scheduled to make this year before prorated play.
So it's going to come down to essentially if he thinks he can get more than 12 on the open market,
which he might. Yeah. But does he think he can get more than let's see, 12? Or no, I'm sorry, it was 16. He was 16 this year, 14 in 2021. I knew it was 2,000 more. I was getting it mixed up. So does he think that he can get more than 32, 46. Does he think he get more than 3 for 46 or 48? Because the $2 million buyout.
I don't know how many people are getting that. And
yeah,
he didn't have the. I mean, overall, his numbers were not great, despite his, you know, the hot streaks.
Correct.
I think that's going to keep people from going fully invested in him based on what you saw over 60 games this year.
Yeah,
even though he did, you know. But that's who he's been, right? He's been this streaky guy who can carry you for a long period of time.
Right, and we may have missed off one of those streaks.
Yeah. Before we move on, let's hear from one of our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, all this is centered around the third question that Dick Williams had an answer for, and that is payroll. That is, what will it look like? And I think across all of baseball, a lot of GMs and owners are having to answer that question and not sure how to answer it. But here's how Dick Williams answered it.
You know, unfortunately, as you go into next year, I think we're all still dealing with some very large unknowns. And we all thought that by now we might have more visibility than we in fact do. And so, you know, it's really hard to know exactly where we'll stack up from an economic perspective without having a little more visibility on those things. You know, that being said, I know Bob is committed to, you know, giving us as many resources as he can, you know, to try to keep building on what we accomplished this year. So I can't give you a specific up, down answer yet.
You guys spent a lot of, money and also time re-evaluating maybe how the minor league system was working. How much does the lack of a minor league system this year affect you down the road and some of those things that you were trying to implement that may have been kind of new and innovative?
Yeah, we were really, really hurt by not having a minor league season this year. I mean, you could make the argument that all teams are kind of in the same boat. So we still had a chance to make more use of this year than our competition. You know, I think it's all about how you handled it. But no matter how well we handled it, and I think we did accomplish a lot of things that we would like to have accomplished remotely, there's no substitute for that year of games. And that there's no doubt that that hurt, especially with, guys that we may be counting on in the spring to come compete for the big league team. You know, guys like Lodolo and Green and India, and you know, to lose that year of development is going to affect different teams differently depending on how much they were planning on players from their minor league system coming up and competing for a big league spot next year.
There's been a lot of trimming of baseball operation staffs by other teams, especially in the scouting ranks. Are you guys going to be making any reductions or staying the same in that area too?
We have made some personnel, some staff changes. I would say we had a small reduction in headcount in player development, largely tied to the fact that we'll be down two affiliates. So we lost some headcount there. Although we were able to, some of those coaches will shift to other levels and help with development going forward. We are, in terms of amateur scouting and pro scouting, those staffs are, we are not having any headcount reductions in those areas. So, very thankful for ownership's commitment to continue to provide the resources for scouting and player development, which are so, so important to us.
All right, we included stuff about the minor leagues and the staff in there because it all, in many ways, ties together. I mean, teams are entering this offseason having to cut back, and people are losing their jobs operationally. The minor leagues, you're losing affiliates. It's changing the way you scout, how many people you need on that, how much money does that make up for, and then where do you need to find payroll of the base, the major league club, in order to scale that back. We know they extended themselves last year to go for it, per se. What does that mean for this payroll, and what does that mean for Trevor Bauer? So, or the pursuit of keeping Trevor Bauer, I should say. And yes, all of that kind of falls into the payroll question, and the answer given is, I don't know. I think they're trying to figure that out. I think they're trying to figure out, and that's probably a tough conversation that Bob Castellini and Dick Williams are going to have, and say, what can we do and what can't we do? And they obviously haven't had that yet, and they've got to kind of figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, and that is going to be a big question. I mean, just – we don't know. We just don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's –
Well, the other side of it is, I mean, you're also worried. I mean, we don't know that there's going to be fans in the stands next year.
Right.
And certainly can't – you definitely can't guarantee to higher – to full capacities. I mean, you're talking about not knowing if you're going to be at 0%, 22%, 50%, everybody in. The unknowns of having to take a bath on a second season potentially, I think are what makes it even more challenging. And, you know, you talked about the non-tender possibilities. To me, that makes Trevor Bauer fascinating because the amount of, you know, he said he wants 1 year deals and wants to keep doing 1 year deals. Well, it's easy to say that until someone offers you the you know, the piece de resistance deal, you know, the 5 year gazillionaire deal, which he is now in position to get if somebody is willing to pay. Is somebody. What is someone willing to pay anybody? Not discussing Trevor Bauer's worth. What is any team willing to pay anybody right now is maybe the bigger question about whether Trevor Bauer comes back or not. It only takes one, but.
'Tis true. Yeah, it's a huge question, and we just don't know. We just don't know.
And we'll go into the off season, and I think there's going to be a lot of watching how things play out. And, you know, do you think we'll see again? And maybe the answer to this is also we just don't know. But do you think that we'll see it take longer for the off season to kind of get going, even than it has in recent years as it's pushed back, just because people are going to want more financial answers?
Yeah. 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 I mean, in there's so much unknown that you want the most opportunities to know. And do they still have the GM meetings? Do they still have the winter meetings like they have in the past? I just don't see a way that we have a winter meetings. And like deals don't have to be done there, but there is momentum that is gained there in both the GM meetings and the winter meetings. And even if they do have them, they're going to be so different than they've been in the past. Like, I just don't see myself at, I don't remember where they were supposed to be this year, Dallas or somewhere. But, like, I don't see myself at the Opryland, you know, walking around, shaking hands, kissing babies, and doing all the IRS that you do during that time. Like, it's just not going to happen. And this whole off season, oh, man, it's just going to be different. It's just going to be different. And I can't see anybody jumping out quickly and getting a lot of quick things done. And, because there's just no answers.
One last thing before, because it was mentioned in as part of the minor league element here to that was, did this year push back Hunter Green and also maybe Nick Lodolo's arrival date to the big league club because of their lack of having a season this year to go out there and get some more development?
Sure shit don't help.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to it, it just doesn't help.
Yeah, I mean, they brought Hunter Green into Prasco, and obviously, you know, I think that was a part of, hey, let's keep our hands on this guy and working with him as much as we can. And, you know, they're doing simulated games up there or whatever, but it's not the same. But at least you were able to work with these guys a little bit. But to me, that'll be interesting as you try to figure out, you know, if they can bring Bauer back, if DeSclafani comes back. I mean, and how they fill out the rest of the rotation. Does that involve one of these guys being up, you know? Maybe you could have said that with more certainty if they would have had a season, but they didn't. And so that kind of throws a big question mark onto them in the next year or two as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything. And the other part is, this is not the only organization having these questions.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's a good time to have Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray and Tyler Mahle and these guys in your rotation, the top of your rotation, locked up. And yeah, we'll spend so much time discussing Bauer, but I mean, they have depth at that position. They have guys in their bullpen that really asserted themselves this year that you feel comfortable with. And they spent a bunch of money on offense last year that I think you still have confidence in. So it's a good time to not have even more questions on your roster. And I think that, as he said, there's no glaring holes, you know, and that's, right. it's a good time to be in that situation.
I mean, you could look at shortstop. Is pretty a glaring hole. But other than that, I mean, other than the most, either the first or second most important defensive position on the diamond.
other than that,
pretty good.
But anyway, so that's kind of a reacting to Dick Williams' assessment of where they're at. We'll be back next week and kind of keep taking a deeper look into some of the functionality of the offseason and the who's, what's, where's, and why's, and talking a little bit about the postseason as it continues to unfold. Until then, it's been good. I hope people are ready to dive into offseason fun and discussion. We love talking about nothing.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I bet we'll have something next week to talk about.
Yeah, you have a feeling? Yeah.
Got a feeling.
I like it when you have feelings, Trent. I like it when you have feelings.
Not my usual cold feeling yourself. I actually have some feelings that it's a pretty safe bet. Well, something's gonna happen. That's one of the beauties of covering sports.
Yep.
Something usually does happen.
So stop by next week to see what Trent's feelings were. And we'll find out more as that happens. And a reminder, $1 per month right now on The Athletic. So
$1.
That's it.
$1.
And that deal going on for, I don't know how long they're going to keep doing this. Like, at a certain point, I feel like, do I get laid off if we have to keep doing this deal?
Just so it's you and not me.
Okay.
That's all I care about. Looking for number
www.theathletic.com/WARP. Click on the link and you can get the $1 per month offer right now and get all of our coverage across NFL, NBA, Everton at the top of the table, undefeated, untied, dominant. James Rodriguez is just killing it. So great. Greg O'Keefe will keep you informed. So will Patty Boyland, my guys on the Everton side. But we've got all your coverage everywhere, so you get all that for $1. Go on the site, sign up now. Anyway, we will talk to you next week on WARP in Cincinnati. Ooh.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.